Well, good morning, everyone. You're most welcome to worship here in Sinfield Road. If you're watching the live stream, you're very welcome. If you're here in person, you're very welcome. If you're new, you're especially welcome. Here in person, we've been chatting together and greeting one another. If you're watching online, we hope that if you're able, you'll join us as soon as you can in person. My name's Gordon Campbell. I'm one of the elders here. Our minister, Reverend Ben Walker, is on a week's leave, hard-earned, and we hope well-enjoyed. And our family's worker, Jill, is also away today. Just a few announcements, and very quickly to begin with. They've been scrolling, if you've been paying attention. I just want to draw attention to some of them. Tuesday break on Tuesday coming around Irish place names. Norman New Pritchard giving some insight on that. Friday coming, as has been on screen, Friday Cafe is back on the second and the fourth Fridays of the month. So this Friday coming is one of those. And then if you haven't already picked one up, you may have seen, and it may be time to get, a flyer for the Winter Craft Fair. There's plenty of information on the flyer, so I won't repeat what's there. And then perhaps just to highlight one other, which is the Night for Youth and Children's Leaders on the theme of Listen. And I highlight it mainly because of the change of date. So please do note that it is Thursday, the 24th of November at 7:30, and put that in your diary or give yourself a notification for that. As he was preparing his friends to say goodbye, Jesus said, among other things to them in John 14, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So we'll use those words as a little umbrella, as a little leading thought for us at the start of our service. And we begin together with a responsive psalm from Psalm 103, in which we recall with the words of David who God is and what he has done for us. "My soul, praise the Lord. Every part of me, praise his holy name. My soul, praise the Lord. And never forget how kind he is. The Lord forgives all our sins and heals all our sicknesses. He saves us from the grave and he gives us love and compassion. The Lord is kind and merciful. He is patient and full of love. He does not always criticize. He does not stay angry with us forever. We sinned against the Lord, but he didn't give us the punishment we deserved. His love for his followers is as high above us as heaven is above the earth. The Lord has taken our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is as kind to his followers as a father is to his children. Amen." What gift of grace from our God and Father to have Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Let's stand and praise God together.
Steadfast love, my
Well, the very same Jesus who said, "You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it," also taught his disciples to pray. And in the long history of the church, the Lord's Prayer has been used in two ways. First of all, as we usually do, to be said as a prayer, but then also to be used as a pattern for prayer. And that's what we're going to do just now. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we approach you, our great Creator, we are only your poor creatures. Yet Jesus taught us that you are also and especially our loving Heavenly Father. Through our faith in Jesus, we know that we are also your children, that you love us, that you have only good gifts for us. So we come humbly and reverently, and we come confidently to pray to you. Hallowed be your name. Our Father, we want to honor your name as the God who created us. You saved us. You love us through Jesus, and you live in us through your Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may all people on earth honor and worship you, just as all people do who loved and served you here while they were alive, and just as all the angels do. Your kingdom come. Our Father, already you rule the whole universe. Already Jesus, your Son, reigns over us and among us as universal Lord. Already your Spirit is building your kingdom across our world. But in a world full of wrong, we long and we wait and we work for the day when you will put everything right and every knee will bow. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Our Father, shrink our self-will. In its place, grow your perfect will in us. Jesus, your perfectly obedient Son, prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." We want to be more like Jesus, but often we are your disobedient children. Father, bend our stubborn and misdirected wills to your perfect will. Give us today our daily bread. Our Father, before we even ask, you know everything we need. Our whole lives in this world are lived in your providence. The earth is rich and fertile and good. Help us be good stewards of its resources for the good of all humanity and the whole creation. Especially help us share with those in need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Our Father, your Son Jesus bore our unbearable sin. He restored our broken relationship with you and also with one another. But although we've received your full and free pardon, we're sinners still. And so we sinfully refuse to forgive others as you forgive us. Father, save us from this sham. Make us pardoners and restorers. Make us peacemakers and reconcilers. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father, we know you will not allow us to be tried beyond what we can bear. We know that by your power at work in us, you help us endure and you give us a way out. But Father, we are weak. So make us strong in Jesus who overcame and in whom we trust. Help us do what Jesus would do and say what Jesus would say. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Our Father, all dominion and empire are yours. With your Son and with the Holy Spirit, you reign supreme. You have no equal, no rival. There's no one like you. Whatever the world calls great, you are greater. May our lips and our hands and our feet bring you all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Our Father, who gave us life and sustains it, hear these, our stumbling, stammering prayers. Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and friend, plead our cause for us with your Father and ours. Holy Spirit, our guide and counselor, translate our imperfect prayers into your sighs and groans, too deep for words, that you may use them for your purposes. Amen. Well, isn't it great to be together? And I know that a lot of the boys and girls, big or small, will have been together a bit more with their friends, with their families during this week of half term. And it's terrific to be together as we think again about life together with Jesus. One really good place to be together right now for the boys and girls especially would be up here for the story. So as I go there, why don't you come here? And don't worry, with the help of the camera, everybody can see. Because down in Mr. Land, it was time for chat and chomp. Chat and chomp. It was all the idea of little Miss Plump. Now, she's plump for a reason, and she especially likes the chomp. The nosh, the buns, the biscuits, the cake, the sweeties, the crisps. Every time there is chat and chomp down in Mr. Land, Little Miss Plump is involved. Of course, lots of Mr. Men and Little Misses like to go there. So Mr. Nosy, well, he would never miss because chat and chomp is the place to find out what's hot and what's not, and all the biz, and all the chat, and being as nosy as Mr. Nosy is, he just loves to find out what's going on. Not so much for the chomp as for the chat, Little Miss Chatterbox is always there. Now, she's not very good at listening, but she is very good at talking. And Little Miss Chatterbox has lots to say at chat and chomp about what she's doing and what's going on in Mr. Land. So Mr. Nosy pays a lot of attention to what she says. Then there's Mr. Happy. Now, Mr. Happy doesn't always say very much. Yes, he enjoys a chat. Yes, he enjoys chomping on biscuits and cake. But actually, he's just happy that all the Mr. Men and the Little Misses are there because he just enjoys being together. So imagine that you were there, down at Chat and Chomp in Mr. Land. And imagine that there was lots of chat going on, and then there were bits where there was no noise at all because everybody was doing chomp instead, and you can't talk with your mouth full, can you? But on this particular day, Mr. Worry, who always comes to Chat and Chomp so that he can tell everybody what he's worried about, hadn't said a word. And the reason he hadn't said a word was that he was more worried than usual. Usually he's worried about, you know, did I lock all the doors and shut all the windows? Did I switch everything before I went to bed? Or did I put the cat out? Or you name it, Mr. Worry is usually worrying about it. And you can see that from the lines on his forehead. He's just such a worrier. But on this particular day, he had a really big worry, and we'll come back to that in a minute. And his friend, Little Miss Shy, was there as well. Now, Little Miss Shy doesn't say a lot because she's shy. So she kind of waits for Mr. Men and Little Misses to talk to her first. But on this particular day, Little Miss Chatterbox was chatting away so chattily, and Mr. Nosy was listening so intently, and everybody else was chomping away, and nobody had even noticed that Little Miss Shy was there. Nobody had spoken to her. And she was feeling really lonely and forgotten and shy. Now,
Mr. Rev wasn't there to notice any of this because he had a week off, so he wasn't there. And little Miss Helpful wasn't there either, but little Miss Sunshine was. And she paid a lot of attention to little Miss Shy and to Mr. Worry. And she said, "Mr. Worry, what's worrying you?" Now, he's not afraid to talk, so he said, "Well, I don't think I should be here." And everybody looked at one another, because Mr. Worry was always here. "Why?" she said. And Mr. Worry said, "I don't think I'm good enough to be here. I don't always use kind words. And I don't always have kind hands." And little Miss Sunshine knew what it was that little Miss Shy was feeling. But neither Mr. Rev nor little Miss Helpful was there to help. Thankfully, though, Mr. Clever was there. And Mr. Clever had a thought. And he said, "Hold on, everybody. In the Mr. Maker's book, the Mr. Maker's son says that we can ask anything we like in his name, and he will do it." And everybody stopped chomping and stopped chatting and just nodded, including Mr. Worry and even little Miss Shy. So Mr. Clever said, "How about we talk to the Mr. Maker now, and then maybe some of us who aren't feeling so good will feel better." And everybody thought that was a great idea. So they had what you and I would call a prayer. And Mr. Clever said to the Mr. Maker, "Mr. Maker, we know that we haven't always got kind thoughts and kind words and kind hands. And we're sorry. Will you forgive us? And will you help us to notice one another and be friendly to one another and say nice things to one another and put our arms around one another when we need a hug and all those things? Through the Mr. Maker's son, amen." And by that stage, since there was no cake left, little Miss Plump said, "Well, it's time to clear up and to go home." And that's exactly what happened. But in the Bible, it says the same thing. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. So most of you already have your hands together because you've been listening carefully, which is perfect for talking to God. So let's do that now before you go back to your mums and dads and before the service continues and the boys and girls go out to the Ark and JCBs and Bible class. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes we're like Mr. Worry, and we need to know that you forgive us for the wrong things we think and say and do. And so it's all right for us to be here. And sometimes we're like little Miss Shy, and we think that nobody notices us, nobody's spoken to us, we don't feel welcome. But it's not true, because in you there's always a welcome, and you teach us to welcome one another. Thank you, dear God, for your love for us in Jesus your Son. Amen. And just after you go back to Mum and Dad or Gran and Granda, we're going to sing "Jesus Loves Me." This I know. Thanks for listening. Well, I hope you enjoyed that plug for Friday Cafe. In the Mr. Men story, Mr. Worry, Little Miss Shy, and all the others received a word of reassurance. And I want you to keep that idea of reassurance in mind, and we'll add another one to it in due course. We've been reading 1 John together as a community, and we continue that. And we'll read the next portion shortly. But we've also seen how 1 John is very much a commentary on the Gospel of John, almost as if the author were reviewing the Gospel while speaking or saying through writing what he has to say in 1 John. And in several of Ben's sermons so far, we've seen how John's Gospel is essential reading for us. And so this morning we are going to read first of all from John 14, the verses that follow the one with which we began the service. And as Elaine comes to bring us the reading, do listen out, among other things, for that note of reassurance. Elaine.
If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen."
God's love, God's Spirit, God's Word at work in us are among the themes that also emerge in our next hymn. So let's offer God praise for the gospel we have just heard as we sing, "O Great God of Highest Heaven."
God of highest heaven, occupy
So we come today to the last part of 1 John 3 and the first part of 1 John 4. And we read the passage together. If you have a Bible or you have a Bible on screen, I invite you to follow. And the first verse was the last verse that Ben addressed last week, because there's often overlap in 1 John. It's the way things are written. So sometimes a verse looks back as well as, in this case, forward. 1 John 3 and 18 to 1 John 4 and verse 6. God's word to us today. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Well, as we come to reflect on this in the sermon, let's pray for God's help. You are the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Your holy word, the truth that sets me free. Give me to eat and live with you above. Teach me to love your truth, for you are love. Oh, send your Spirit, Lord, now to me, that He may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within your word, and in your book revealed, I'll see you, Lord. Amen. So, life together with Jesus. Today, as a worshiping and a witnessing community of God's people, we continue to think together about life together with Jesus here in Saintfield Road. And we continue to take our cue for that from this community-orientated practical teaching that we call 1 or 1 John. You've already had a glimpse of this heart-shaped word cloud. Like earlier parts of 1 John, this portion has various important themes that all cluster together within it. And it gives us a feel for some of these as you look. Now, we've either already met most of them, or if not, John will come back to them again later. And having heard part of John 14 earlier, with Elaine's help, and now part of 1 John 3 and 4 after that, can you see there are already some connections? I've colored in just some of the main parallels between verses in the two readings. So the passage we have just read is in two halves. 1 John 3 and 4, as we read, form a coherent whole from verse 18 of chapter 3 to verse 6 of
of four. They belong together, and it's easy to see how. For instance, section one begins, dear children, and moves to dear friends, or beloved is another way to put that. And then it moves to dear children and dear friends in reverse order. And that little mirror effect actually binds the two parts together into one. And we hear that as it's read, and that was John's intention. And notice also how the same core idea of truth crops up at the start in verse 18 and again at the very end in verse 6, which tells us that it belongs together. And in between, there's repeated mention of the idea of knowing, or else recognizing. And there's also a little bridge from section 1 to section 2. Section 1 in verse 24 ends with a mention of the Spirit, and section 2 then immediately takes up the topic of the Spirit and other spirits. So these are all little clues that Ben was right when he said, Gordon, will you take the last bit of chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4? All this evidence, I suppose, tells us that we're looking at two halves of a whole. Now, you might be wondering, well, that seems to make sense, but Gordon, then why does chapter 4 begin slap bang in the middle? Well, don't worry. Chapter and verse divisions are simply traditional, and you might say a rough guide to reading. And if a chapter number happens to interrupt the flow, well, we just ignore the chapter number. Now, although the two halves belong together, each half is also distinct, and it's got its own different topic or topics. And each one of them begins with its own command. First of all, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And you'll remember, if you were watching or if you were here last week, that we thought about that very command because, as I said, it also fits with the verses before. And you remember Ben showed us how brotherly love in action is a really concrete thing. In this section, it flows from God living in us. And then the second command is, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because learning to tell the difference between the real thing and the counterfeit is another really concrete thing. Well, each of these two commands leads on to a big idea. So let me give you both big ideas first, and then what we'll try to do is to unpack them one at a time. So in section one, if God truly lives in his children by his Spirit, then they can trust him completely. And in a word, and we've already met it, that's reassurance. We may feel that our hearts condemn us, but we have confidence in God who knows better through what he has done for us and in us. And then section two, if God truly speaks to his children in Scripture, well, then they can spot fakes easily. And that, in a word, is discernment. So I asked you to keep reassurance in mind, and the second big idea to add to it is discernment. And we'll have a think about each of the two and start with the first big idea. Now, 1 John's audience would be sure to know and sure to remember things that they had heard or read and that we have heard or read earlier in the gospel. Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commands. Or a little later, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And listeners would also remember Jesus going on to say, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. All this Elaine read for us, and all this would be in the minds of the first hearers of 1 John. And they would recall how Jesus linked loving obedience and the Spirit together. I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Spirit of truth. Loving obedience to Jesus or to his Father, prompted and empowered by God's Spirit dwelling within believers. You could say Spirit-driven obedience. And Jesus also added, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So that's why in 1 John 3 and these last verses, it seems that knowing these key things is so crucial. We know we belong to the truth, verse 19. We know that God lives in us by the Spirit he gave us. Reassurance. Throughout this section, what John and his readers know of God and how they know what they know, that's all crucial. It's all about reassurance. Reassurance for doubting or anxious believers whose hearts, we might say consciences, are troubled. Who should remember well then that Jesus, as John 14 opens, and again as we heard near the end of the chapter, said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Or, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Untroubled hearts, of course. Yes, but Gordon, worry is a persistent and nagging thing. Now, some of us seem to have been made to worry, so there are worriers and less than worriers. But nonetheless, we all have worries and concerns. What are John's audience to do then if their hearts are not at rest in God's presence, verse 19? If their hearts condemn them, verse 20? If they feel a fraud? Ever been in that place? John's reassuring answer comes in verse 20. We know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. That's just what agitated, anxious children of God need to hear from their loving Father, isn't it? You don't know if you truly love me? You don't know if you really belong to me? Well, maybe not, but I know. What was it Jesus had also said in John 10? "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Unsnatchable children of God. Have confidence before God, verse 21. Confidence. Confidence for what? To strut around looking confident? No. Confidence to ask. Confidence, verse 22, to ask and to receive what we ask. "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it," said Jesus to his friends in John 14. And here, John, probably the same John, is taking his audience back to the gospel they know so well. Confidence-restoring words. Well, look, just as happened at Chat and Chomp down in Misterland, let's take a moment to pray. Jean is going to come and lead us as we pray now, as is appropriate, for comfort and for reassurance.
Let's pray together. Father, as we come with thankfulness for your word and for the help and comfort that it brings us, the hope and promises that because of Jesus that we can rest in your presence and be assured that you are listening and will act. So today we come especially bringing before you those who find it hard to believe that you love them or will accept them, and those who especially need the reassurance and comfort of your Spirit. We ask for your help for those who live through days uncertain about tomorrow, or whose family life is in turmoil, face uncertain days because of test or planned surgery, or who live with disappointment, chronic pain, ill health or frailty, those with financial worries, or who are grieving, feel rejected, bullied, left out, excluded or misunderstood. Help each of us to play our part in bringing words and actions of help and encouragement Please help us to claim your promise that you can give a peace that passes understanding, and to seek that for ourselves and for others, and for it to be true that deep down in our hearts, that as we sing, Jesus loves me, that we can say with certainty, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. And what we pray for our church family and individual spheres of influence, we also pray for those who are displaced into our communities here in Northern Ireland, from countries and situations of war, or from regimes where they fear for their freedom or lives. Some already know you as Saviour and friend, many as yet do not. We pray that each may know your strength and comfort, and that you would bring people to help with words, action, and in truth. Help us to find ways to be part of your plan, as a church fellowship or as individuals. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Comfort and reassurance for God's people. Well, let's come to the second half of our reading and to big idea number two. God speaks to his children in Scripture. Now, maybe you're wondering, where do I get Scripture from in 1 John 4, 1 to 6? Because Scripture isn't mentioned explicitly there. But already in chapter 2, the author has talked many times about writing these things, as the slide shows you. And he'll do it one more time in chapter 5. And the really relevant one is the last of them in chapter 2, and it's highlighted for us there in 2:26. John's big reason for writing is to remind the church to listen to apostolic teaching in both the gospel and the epistle. Now, this is to preserve the believers from believing what we might call fake truth, from following its promoters, and from splintering off. It's as if he's saying, guys, you need to test the spirits. Are they from God? I wonder, in listening to the reading, did you spot John's emphasis on that? What is written is from God and comes from the Spirit. What is written mainly concerns Jesus, the Jesus of the gospel, because the gospel writer and the writer of 1 John are from God, and they testify to truth, truth spoken, truth heard, but also truth written, Scripture. But don't we know that, unfortunately, truth isn't the only thing that's out there? So look also at the contrasting emphasis on the world. Now, the world can, in John's gospel especially, have a positive slant. As last week, when Nigel was reminding us about John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So there, it's positive. But in John 14, as we read, Jesus says, the world cannot accept the Spirit of truth because it neither sees him nor knows him. And here too, the world carries the negative sense in verse 1 of many false prophets. False prophets voicing a fake gospel. Voices of those who neither love nor obey Jesus, who don't belong to the Father, who don't have the Spirit in them, who are deaf and blind and antagonistic to the good news of Jesus, God and man. And John wants his audience to be able to spot them. It's hard. You need to look closely to see that wolf's face in the sheep's clothing, don't you? Not be fooled by them, but see them for what they are. In his Sermon on the Mount, which is quoted for you there, Jesus had warned his followers to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. So this is no new phenomenon. The first readers needed discernment. Test the spirits, John tells them, to see whether they are from God.
It was more than 200 years ago now that the poet William Wordsworth began a famous sonnet. Maybe some of us had to learn it in school. The world is too much with us, late and soon, etc., etc. And later on he says, we have given our hearts away. Well, I wonder what old Wordsworth would make of our world, full of scams and fakes, and even now we need to say deep fakes, full of a daily deluge of enticing images and fancy slogans from, guess what, our phones. Influences and influencers galore, many of them malign and dangerous, bombarding us with a flood of information, images, videos, selected, spun by algorithms to reinforce our defaults and target our wants and our weaknesses, telling us what we want to hear, showing us what we want to see. It has never been easier to con everybody than it is now in our continuously connected online world awash with propaganda of all sorts. There's plenty of false gospel out there. We need discernment too. And the good news is we can recognize fake when we see it. Thanks to the Spirit of God and Spirit of truth speaking through Scripture. For the first readers, life together with Jesus meant listening together to what is from God in the gospel or the epistle, and learning to recognize what isn't from God but is from or of the world. So to reassurance, the audience could now add discernment with the best known verse from our whole passage, verse 4, bringing the two together. Our God is greater. The loudest voices of the world's deceiving spirits outshouted by the still small voice of the indwelling Spirit who uses implanted Scripture in believers. Well, if that's discernment, we should pause again and pray for God's discernment and guidance. And again, Jean will lead us in that.
Let's pray again together. Father God, as we listen to your word, telling us to be careful, there are those that would want to pull us away from you and tell us things that are not true about Jesus. John writes to warn and gives us pointers about how to know the difference between lies and the truth. James encouraged us to seek help when we lacked wisdom when he wrote, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it would be given to you. And he then reminds his readers that when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Father, like your earthly disciples, we find that hard at times, and we can say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So today, Father, as we come asking for your help and guidance, help us to recognize those things that pull us away from you and to say sorry for those attitudes that do not show your likeness. In these days of political uncertainty and financial insecurity, we pray for those in positions of influence, power, authority, and of trust, that they will use those positions without bias, self-interest, or selfish ambition, and will be diligent and careful. Today we pray especially for those attending COP27 in Egypt, that there is time together will be meaningful outcomes, will bring meaningful outcomes in the efforts to stem the increasing problems in our weather systems, which can devastate lives and countries. As individuals and communities, we face decisions large and small, and as we test values, opinions and attitudes against your yardstick and priorities of truth, mercy and justice, of loving you first and showing that love to others, help us to understand better and make good choices whether that be in our church family, within our family and circle of friends, or wider afield. Keep us from being moulded by a world that does not recognise you and which seeks to present to us so many cultural norms that do not reflect your priorities or may pull us away from seeking first the kingdom of God. Help us each, child, young person, to those with much life experience and years, to honour you in this week and to continue to depend on you for wisdom. For we ask all these things again in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, we're almost done. Two big ideas. If God truly lives in his children by his Spirit, they can trust him completely. In a word, reassurance. And if God truly speaks to his children in Scripture, they can spot fakes easily, and that's discernment. Well, can we put reassurance and discernment together as two big ideas into one? Can we cover the whole passage? Well, I think we can. Through Jesus, God comforts and God guides his true children. What great news that is. God's comfort, truly, reassuringly knowing him. And God's guidance, truly, discerningly seeing what he reveals. And both, of course, are the work of God's Holy Spirit in us. Brothers and sisters, if we have truly encountered God in Christ here through Scripture read and preached, then we can't remain unaffected by what we've just discovered. Because God's good news always promotes change in us. Truly encountering God in Christ is always life-changing. So, if life together with Jesus is where it's at for us in St. Field Road, what does this comfort and what does this guidance actually mean for us practically? Walking out of here shortly, how can you and I be different than when we came in? So, let me suggest a takeaway for each half and even a takeaway for the whole. Buy one, get one free. We saw that if God truly lives in his children by his Spirit, they can trust him completely. Well, with that reassurance, here's the takeaway for us. Pray to God confidently. Then work out love in practical ways. Okay, if we feel like our heart condemns us, if we have doubts that we really belong to Jesus, if we're afraid that God doesn't even hear our prayers or doesn't care if he does hear them, instead of worrying, we should listen to the reassuring prompting of the Spirit within us. We should go pray. We should go love. And we saw how if God truly speaks to his children in Scripture, they can spot fakes easily. And the takeaway for us from that gift of discernment is this. Listen to God carefully. It's coming up on screen. And then watch out for the opposing influences or influencers. Brothers and sisters, I don't know of a more countercultural place or space than a community of God's people gathered to listen together to God speaking in Scripture and sacrament and even sermon and learning together to love and cherish one another because God first loved us and learning to serve one another just as Christ gave himself for others. Where else in culture or society can that be done? Well, what do we get if we put these two takeaways together? There it is. Key to living. The life-changing good news for Jesus in this passage is that key to living together with Jesus
is talking and listening to God together. What John wrote to that community of believers was a one another kind of message. The communication is full of we and you, plural. It's good news for children of God united in one family. It's a call to be here together and together with Jesus as often and as regularly as we can, so that His Word continuously shapes our words and molds our lives to be more like Jesus. Amen. Well then, let Jesus take the highest honor. Let's bring all of this together in praise to Him. On your behalf, on all our behalfs, to thank the praise group and to thank also Elaine and Jean for leading us. Remember what Ben says, it's not an ending, it's ascending. Let's share the words of the grace together as we do that. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all
evermore. Amen.